Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. My name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. Okay, so today we have such an exciting guest. Alexa Dadson is our guest, and she is a little different than a lot of our other guests in that she is a lot younger than most of our guests, but she has already accomplished so much in her short life and is so motivated to do public service and such an inspiration to me. I am so excited to talk to her and have you guys listen to all the great stuff she has to say and do and be really inspired by her enthusiasm. So Alexa, thank you so much for being here today. Can we just start with having you introduce yourself a little bit?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Alexa Dadson. I'm 16. I live in Vineyard, Utah, and I go to school in Provo at Freedom Preparatory Academy. I don't know. What else can I tell you about? I mean, I am so into public service for sure. And I think just like government, and I'm really passionate about getting more teenagers involved. That's just something that's really important to me. So that's sort of been my focus in my like career beginnings within the past few years.
And at 16, you already kind of have had a career, and you don't just try and get young people involved. You yourself are very involved. So I know one of the things you've done is Girl State, and were very involved there and ran a campaign at Girl State. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what you did there and why you're proud of it?
Yes. So I went to Girl State in June of 2022. And while I was there, I decided to run for governor. Initially, I wanted to run for Girls Nation Senator, but Girls Nation was the same week as a Disneyland trip I was going on. And I was like, Disneyland or DC? Like, no. But yeah, so I decided to run for governor at Girl State. Should I give an explanation of like what Girl State is and how it works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So basically how Girl State works is it's like this simulation of a state and all of the elections that will be run within that state. So we're split into cities, counties, and parties, and we sort of run for different offices within those different groups. So you can run for a delegate for a convention, or you can run for mayor in your city, or you can run for sheriff. And then you can also run for governor, which is what I decided to do. And basically the platform that I decided to run on was based on the change that I thought I could make within like Girl State as it is. Like a lot of girls were making promises that like a real governor would be able to make like within the state of Utah. But I wanted to do something that I knew I could like sort of impact or affect change just within Girl State. Like how can I use this position of governor to help girls next year as they are coming to Girl State as well. So half of my campaign was basically based on the changes that girls were suggesting be made to Girl State from my year. So all the girls in 2022, I went around and asked a bunch of them just like, what would you guys change if you were coming back again next year? Like, how do you think that we can make Girl State better? And there was a lot of suggestions they had. Girl State is a grind for sure. We wake up really early and we go to bed really late. So another thing that girls were asking for was just like maybe more free time or like breaks in between. And I was like, good idea. I'm tired too. they gave suggestions about like being able to go outside more and like spend more time in nature. And they gave suggestions about like the way that our elections were run and like the way that our schedule was structured. And I sort of took all those answers that they gave and just collected them in a list on my phone. And I think that act of going around and collecting those suggestions was a really great way for me to connect with the girls that were my electorate in that election. And also just a good way to show the kind of governor that I wanted to be next year, like someone that's very much interacting with the other girls and just like trying to make the experience better for everyone. And then another thing that I ran my campaign on was sort of diversity and representation. So entering Girl State as a Black girl, I saw a lot of like women of color around me, which was so exciting. I mean, like some of the closest friends that I made there are Hispanic or they're other Black girls, which is like something that's so valuable. I live in Utah County, which is like generally not that diverse, but Girl State definitely did that for me. Like I felt like we were had such a diverse group of girls. But within like our returning officials, which is the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and then two senators from last year, those girls that got elected, all five of them were white and they were super cool and I loved them a lot. They were really inspiring. I mean, like one of them was going to Columbia University. The other ones were like pursuing politics in DC. Like it was just so, they were so incredible. And it was really great to get to know them. But at the same time, it was difficult to see myself in the position of governor or in the position of senator, knowing that all of the girls up there didn't look like me or that, I don't know, they didn't like identify the same way as me. It was just a little bit more difficult to gain the confidence, to build the confidence within myself to run for those offices when I didn't see people that looked like me doing it. So that was another thing that I felt like was really important for the girls next year to have, like someone that is on that stage standing as a returning official that is a woman of color so that they can see like what they're capable of and that they can like better envision themselves in that spot. So that's sort of how I ran my campaign at Girl State. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you won, obviously, which was fantastic. And I really love that story because the way that you were able to talk to the girls and ask them to kind of say, okay, I can't really do a whole lot for you this year, but what do you want to do for future Girl State people? And inspire them to be more concerned about that as opposed to, you know, what you could do for them in the next day. I went to Girl State too, and it's just a week long, right? There's not a lot you're going to do. The election's at the end of it. And so you don't have a lot of power. And so not just going off of hypotheticals and, you know, pie in the sky, everybody gets ice cream or something like that, you actually promised things you could deliver and inspired the girls to be concerned enough about that to vote for you. And so that was really inspiring to me. And I think that's incredible that at your age, you were able to do that. So kudos to you for doing that. And then you have been involved in a bunch of other things too. I know you've worked for campaigns and helped them out. Tell me a little bit about that experience and what it's like as a 16-year-old working, I guess even younger, working on a political campaign.
Yeah, when I started on my first campaign, I was actually 14. And it was just like such a like kind of surprising experience. Like I don't want to say jarring because it wasn't bad. It was so good and I learned a lot, but it was just like I kind of got thrown into it. So I got connected with the campaign manager on a Salt Lake City city council campaign, and she was sort of just like, you should come work with me on this campaign. And I was like, okay, great. So I started attending the team meetings. Like there was no like dipping your toes in the water. It's like you jump all the way in. So I used what I felt like I had to offer, which is like my graphic design skills. I've been on yearbook for the past 4 years now. So that's something that I felt like confident enough to contribute to the campaign. So I attended all of our like weekly team meetings, sort of gave my ideas on like marketing and like what we can do sort of like visually to get this candidate elected. Like, so I helped mostly with designs for social media. I did a lot of Instagram posts and stories, and then I also did some designs for like physical things. Like I designed our mailers that we sent to people, and then also like some posters that we get to put inside like local businesses. Yeah, and then this year working on a campaign, I actually went canvassing for the first time. I only went once, but that was like really interesting too, to be able to use my voice as like a liaison for a candidate and just be able to like speak to people and sort of explain to them why I would vote for this candidate. Being like someone that's working on a campaign before you're old enough to vote is also a really interesting experience because it's made me feel like, I have power within a political sphere, even if I can't vote. I think that's something that a lot of teenagers grapple with, especially if they have, like, political interests, is, like, as much as I want to participate, I feel like I can't. Like, it feels like there's an age, like, an age requirement for participating in politics at 18. But working on a campaign at 14 made me realize, like, that's not necessarily true, and there's other ways that we can contribute to this without being able to cast a ballot. So just being able to, in my own way, help a candidate get elected by making graphics for them or knocking doors for them was something that sort of built confidence in me, in that I can contribute to politics even if I'm not old enough to vote for a candidate.
I love that. And I think you can apply that to other people who can vote, but maybe not vote for elections that they're very concerned about. I live in California. You live in Utah. A lot of times the election results in those states are already decided, right? They're kind of one party states. And so if you really care about politics, maybe you can go work for a campaign somewhere where the results aren't determined. And I am completely blown away by the fact that you started working on campaigns at 14. My oldest is 12, and I can't see her doing that at 14. But I think it's good for us to know as you know, parents, as mothers, that our kids are capable of way more than we expect them to. And I talk to a lot of women who have young kids who run for office, and their kids are completely involved in their campaigns. You know, they're knocking on doors, they're passing out flyers, they're helping make yard signs. And I mean, you designed mailers at 14. So it's there's a lot that kids can do. And I think that's really inspiring. And we need to be more focused on getting the young people involved, because you're going to really appreciate the right to vote when you finally get it, right?
Yes, that is so true. Like, I'm so excited for, like, Super Tuesday in 2024 when I'll be able to vote for the first time. I'm, like, counting down the days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure you are. That's fantastic. So you also have lobbied the state legislature. I mean, you've done so many things. So tell me about that. Tell me about the bill that you guys were lobbying for, and how you got involved in that, too.
Yeah. First of all, credits to my friend Dati. This is her bill. It's like her baby. I kind of was just like tagging along. But basically the bill that we ran was a measure that would allow local school boards to open up elections to 16 and 17 year olds within their districts. And that piece of like that piece of the measure that sort of gives the power back to the local school boards is one of the most important pieces to me, because it creates this circumstance where the 16 and 17 year olds, knowing that like this measure has passed at the state level, can go to their school board and sort of ask, like, what can we do to organize or to sort of sway your opinions to make this happen within our district. So it just creates, like, I think, this really important like level of activation where the teenagers have to do something for themselves to get that power built. And like within their community, like people will see that. The 14 and 13 year olds that won't be able to vote because of it will see that, and they'll understand like the work that has to go into getting voting rights within like an that's not the right word. but the 13 and 14, 15 year olds within the district will be able to see like the kind of effort that has to go into getting political power for a group. And I think they'll value that a lot more than if it's just something that happens at the state level and then like power is delivered to everyone. So yeah, that's kind of what the bill was. And the way that I participated in that was kind of in multiple ways. I ran the social media for that also to get more teenagers involved and just like knowing that this was a thing that was happening, so that hopefully when it passed, or if it passed, kids would be aware and then they would start like organizing within their local areas to make or to implement the policy within their own districts. And then I also just helped by like getting meetings with legislators. I got to sit on the House floor a couple of times and have conversations with state senators and representatives. And then I also spoke during public comment when our bill went to committee. So that was like definitely an adventure. It was really interesting to learn like how difficult it is to get a bill passed through a legislature. Like it takes so much work and it's not as simple as just like committee, House, Senate, governor, we're all done. Like there's like so much work within all of those steps and like so many different conversations you have to have, so many connections you have to make. My friend Dati that started the bill, who conceived the idea for the bill, she had like all of these connections to a bunch of different lobbyists from different organizations. And those were some of the most valuable connections that we had during that journey, because they had like all of this like experience and wisdom and all of these relationships within the legislature that they could sort of offer to us, which was just like so helpful. But I think probably the biggest thing I learned from helping run that bill is that even small wins within a political sphere are really, really important. And I feel like just us getting the bill through committee is like such a large accomplishment. And that's something that I'll recognize in seeing other people's work like for the rest of my life. Like if someone tells me that they got their bill through committee, I won't be like, oh, like that's not that good. I'll be like, congratulations, you should be so proud of yourself, because that is so much work just to get it to there. So it definitely gave me a lot more perspective on like the whole legislative process.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The legislative process, you're right, it is a lot more complicated and, you know, so many steps, so many people to talk to. I used to work for a congressional committee in DC, and it's a whole thing. And a lot of times bills, standalone bills, aren't going to get passed, but maybe they'll get thrown into something else later. And there's just so many little things about it that you only learn if you're doing it. So that's amazing that you already have learned about this process at such a young age. And I also love how so much of what you're doing is for the people coming after you. You know, for the younger kids and at Girl State for the next year and for the voting rights. I mean, you might be aged out before this bill passes or passed, but you still are thinking of those coming after you. And I'm just thinking to myself, I wish all of our elected officials were more like Alexa and thinking about those who are coming after and inspiring people to want to help, you know, long term and solve long term problems instead of just rhetoric and problems they perceive and making a splash. And that would be amazing. And I wish that our elected officials would learn from you. So thank you for, you know, all your work on this and having such a forward thinking, inspiring message. I also wanted to ask you kind of what you see yourself doing in the future. Like, what do your next 5-10 years look like? And ideally, what would you love to do?
Yeah. I'm actually graduating this May and working on my college applications right now. So I'll be going to college for the next 4 years. And then I think after that, I want to go to grad school. So I think just like a lot of school is what's coming up. But hopefully while I'm in college, I'll be able to do like some congressional internships. A lot of the schools I'm applying to are in DC. So I think I'll have hopefully a good amount of like access to that. And then I'm also really interested in journalism. So I think that might be something that I pursue as well, like try to get, I don't know, like an internship, maybe within like maybe in like New York or in Chicago. I'm also just really excited to like explore the world outside of Utah and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that I'm most excited about for college is being in places where I feel like a lot of young people are interested in politics, mm-hmm. and that's like a bigger piece of the conversation. There's definitely kids that are involved in Utah, and I know and love kids that are like that, but there's also not, I feel like it's just not that large of a proportion. But it would be really exciting to like be within an environment where people are just like really politically conscious and sort of just like processing what's happening in their state legislature, or that are recognizing what's happening in the city council and just like care about stuff like the small local government issues and then like the big national government issues. I just want to be around people that have insights on that so I can be learning more as well.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I went to law school in DC and there are so many opportunities there. I loved it. I always had a job or two or an internship or two the whole time I was in school because I just couldn't resist. There's so many great opportunities out there. So that, and I grew up in Orem too. So I know how you feel. And it is, I mean, it's really cool to kind of go out into the world outside of Utah and find people and things that you're interested in. And then, you know, maybe come back, maybe not, but you learn a lot with that experience. So what is something that kind of inspires and motivates you? Do you have any political role models or people you look up to?
That's a really good question. I feel like before all of this started, before campaign work, before running that bill and going to Girl State, like as a child in like elementary and middle school, I was really interested in like not necessarily women in politics, but just like women in history. Like I loved reading about Jane Goodall or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like Josephine Baker, just sort of like any women that I felt like made strides for women, that made like a big impact. I was just like so excited to read all of their stories. Like the coloring books that I colored as a kid were not like Hello Kitty. They were literally like women in history. Like that was the coloring books that I was coloring. That's the picture books I was reading. And I think that's what inspired me to pursue what I'm interested in, because all of those women that I read about were so fearless in going after what they wanted. It was like Mae Jemison went to space just because she felt like it was something that she could do. Like that's so cool to me that she didn't let anything stop her. And I think that's sort of what's carried me through all of the difficulties, all of the like hardships that come, or like challenges that come with being like a kid involved in politics and like a woman kid girl involved in politics, has just been like knowing in the back of my mind that all of the women that came before me that decided to go after what they wanted and to make an impact, they didn't let anything stop them, so I won't let anything stop me either.
That is amazing. I wanted to ask you, and that kind of leads me to my next question, which, you know, the church has really changed their youth program lately, and it's much more focused on having the youth be the leaders, and the youth teach the lessons, and the youth plan the activities, and, you know, the youth are giving talks all the time. And, you know, you've kind of gone through that in Young Women's, I'm sure. And I wanted to ask you what you thought about that, and if you think that has helped prepare you, and what young women can be getting out of church, and what kind of us older people who are the leaders in Young Women can do to help you guys.
I think I definitely love that aspect of Young Women's. That's like one of my favorite things about it is like right now I'm the class president for my class, and I feel like that opportunity has taught me so much about like showing love to my community. Like now it's my responsibility or my calling to really just show love to the girls that are like my age and live within the neighborhood around me, which I think is the source or sort of like the template that I use in all of like the change I try to make, or like the ways that I sort of try to contribute to politics. It's like sort of the same thing of just like, I feel like it's my responsibility to show love to these people and to serve these people. With politics, it's like a little bit different because it kind of feels like the kids that I'm doing the work for are far away from me, in that like they're not there with me like at the legislature, or they're not there with me in those campaign meetings. But like the reason why I'm doing this is because I feel like youth's voices need to be heard within like political spheres, but with young women's, just like the love that I'm able to show through, I don't know, the lessons that I teach or the activities that I plan, that to me is just like so significant, because it feels like an ideal environment to learn to use the power and responsibilities that you have. I think my responsibility and role as a class president in my church, and also just in other roles that I've played, has taught me to be involved and to show love just using like whatever position I'm in, and to build connections with like the girls around me. That's just something that's like so valuable. And yeah,
absolutely. And I like how you describe it as showing love, and how maybe you can apply that to politics too. You know, you don't want to be a person who's running for office to stoke your own ego or make yourself important. You want to be someone who's running for office and involved in politics because you want to help others, and because you love your fellow, you know, your fellow men and women, and you want to help them and make the world a better place. And I think that's really beautiful. So thanks for sharing that. So we are almost out of time. I kind of want to ask you a couple more questions though, but why do you think that women, and specifically women of faith, why should they get involved in public service? Why should they be involved in politics?
I feel like something that women in the church have historically been and continue to be so good at is sort of like that thing I was talking about, of just like being able to show love to the people around them in like so continually and so consistently. I think that's manifested in the ministering program. The women around me within my ward are definitely so good at that, at just like being able to look to others and see what their needs are and be able to meet those needs. And I think because of that culture that we've built, women in the church are like so well equipped to be in public service, because they know how to recognize need and how to address that. And they know how to see small things. Like if someone in your ward is just like struggling in an emotional way, and not in a way that like everyone might be aware of, but just like on like a minute or like more emotional level, they're able to see that and just like be able to show love in sometimes the smallest ways, but it can be so impactful. And I think in doing that, a lot of LDS women have built this skill that can be so valuable if they're running for city council or state legislature or like whatever they're wanting to do. They'll just be able to be so conscious of their constituency and be able to listen really well to the voices of the people that they're supposed to represent, because they built like that empathy and sort of like this problem solving within their community. So I think that's really valuable. Also, just because like the way that the LDS church is set up, we're already so involved within our communities because it's like geographic. So if you're running for city council, you're likely to know kind of a lot of people within that area. I think especially in Utah, because like there's a very high membership here. Like if you're running for city council, you have everyone in your ward sort of that you already know, and that can like help you reach out and sort of like find the votes you need and the support you need to get elected. But I think just like because we're such a community focused church, women that are running for office are going to have that behind them. And then also they, like, the leadership that they've already used in that church is going to be, like, continued in that new political office.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you're also, you say that so well. It's incredible. You're 16 years old. But you also are on the Vineyard Youth Council as well. Tell me how you found that position, got on that position. Like, how did you even learn about that in the first place? And what do you do?
Yeah. Some of my biggest inspirations in my life are my sisters and my mom. I have an older sister. She is 2.5 years older than me. And she actually joined the Vineyard Youth Council when she was in, like, maybe eighth grade. So I think it's like I joined the Vineyard Youth Council kind of just like tagging along with her. Like, once I was old enough to be on the youth council, I started coming to the meetings with her. And eventually, when I was old enough, I ran for activities chair and beautification chair. 2 years ago, she was actually the mayor of the youth council. Now she's graduated and like in college. So in that way, it kind of like got passed down to me. So I decided to run for mayor too. But that's sort of how I got involved with that, is just like my older sister and her being so involved in our community. But yeah, Vineyard Youth Council, it's kind of the best. We get to like plan events, especially for kids within our city. Oh, and Vineyard's like kind of a new development. When I moved in like 7 years ago, there was actually no one here. Like maybe like 100 houses in Vineyard, but now I don't even know how to describe the growth, but like a bunch of new neighborhoods, lots of new parks, and just like being able to watch it grow kind of from the inside. I attend like a lot of city council meetings because I'm on the youth council, so it's just like really interesting to be able to see like directly the decisions that are being made by the city council and the Vineyard Youth Council being put into practice in the city. So that's something that I've learned a lot from Vineyard Youth Council.
That's fantastic. And it would be interesting. I mean, I'm from Orem, which is right next to Vineyard. And Vineyard didn't really exist when I was growing up. And now it's giant. So it's really, that would be cool to be part of that and watch it grow and be involved in the details of that. Okay, one more question. I don't understand how you do all the things you do. Like, how do you find time to go to school and do all of these other things and be so involved?
Ooh, that I don't know.
Do you sleep?
Not really. No. I mean, it depends. Lately, not a ton, but that's because of like college applications. That's like definitely a grind for sure. Lots of essays to write, but I don't know how. For me, I mean, bringing it back to my older sister, she is like. Like, I ask her that same question of, like, how do you find time to do all of this stuff? Because, like, while she was in high school, she was doing, like, youth council like I am. She was on student council. She played basketball and soccer, and she did school, and she was, like, she had a job. She was just doing so much stuff, and it was incredible. So I think just, like, following in her footsteps, like, I don't play any sports. I don't know. I feel like there's like a lot of normal teenager things that I don't do. So maybe that's like part of it, is like, it's a give and take. I do a lot of stuff in politics because that's what I'm really passionate about. But like other things that people might assume a teenager's into, I'm not really into. So sort of just like a give and take. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. You're incredible. I've loved talking to you. I want to ask you if you have an invitation for our listeners too, as we close out.
Yeah. For any teenage girls out there who are listening, or like moms of teenage girls, please get involved and please know how much your voice matters. Like, and I also, I invite you guys to participate in small ways and in big ways. Like, whatever you're concerned about or whatever you're passionate about, if you can go out there and just like use your voice, there's going to be so many people out there who support you. So if you have problems within your school that you'd like to solve, or problems within your city that you'd like to solve. Like, you can show up at a city council meeting or a school board meeting and just, like, say what you need to say. And I think you'll be surprised at, like, how many people are willing to listen. So go out there. Make change. That's my invitation.
That's really good advice. And I do. I mean, I've been at city council and school board meetings where young people get up and voice their opinion and they are listened to because it's kind of rare for that to happen. So
absolutely.
That's great advice. All right, Alexa, thank you so much for joining us today. You are phenomenal. I am going to follow up with you and follow your amazing career. I know it's going to be amazing. So everyone, thank you for listening to the Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org and would love it if you'd subscribe, rate, or give us a review on iTunes. Until next time.